Join me, please, in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I'm glad to have been able to sing with you. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. Worthy is the Lamb. Find in me your all in all. What an opportunity this morning. Let us continue our opportunities by hearing the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table, for the Son of Man goes as it had been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Familiar words, we've spoken these, addressed them, considered them again and again, and we will continue to do so because that is our want. We want to read the words of God and see them. And I'm struck by the profundity here, the depth. He's reaching for weighty understanding, it seems, in Jesus' efforts. Then the first thing, given a chance, or the first mention of a response there in verse 23, and they began to question one another, which of them could it be who was going to do this, be the betrayer? So maybe it's curiosity, maybe it's gossip, maybe it's just natural. Psst, you want to turn and whisper, who is it? Is it you? Is it, who is it? But it seems like they pretty quickly, almost immediately, surrender the weight and the significance of what Jesus has just said. And to compound it, we're told in the very next verse, verse 24 now, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Group of men sitting around talking, who's the most special? Who's the most important? Once again, the language of body and blood, the language of meal eaten in the kingdom of God seems to have faded away, and we've turned instead to this sorting among themselves, one in two different ways. As you see on the slide, I choose to emphasize the language before I suffer. Jesus knew the setting of this moment, knew that it was framed by events that had happened, but events that were to come, and he knew. And he chooses to refer to that as what he will suffer. And right now, as we gather, as I try in my eagerness to eat this meal with you, as I try to get you to make sense of what's going on, I am aware that I am going to suffer. I'd like you to hang on to that word. In fact, that's the linking word to a second passage. Turn ahead with me in the same book, Luke chapter 24, the last chapter of the book. And I want to read another passage. This is fairly extended, so I may kind of summarize some of it along the way. Chapter 24 of Luke in verse 13. That very day, and now we'll hear about what day it is. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus drew near. But they were prevented from identifying him somehow. And he said to them, Jesus speaking to them said, "What is this conversation that you're having?" Walks up to two walkers and says, "What are y'all talking about?" And they stood still and looked sad and said to him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem?" This is Cleopas, one of the two, saying, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been happening these last days?" And then look, Jesus, of course, trying to draw them out, trying to get them to say what is significant. He says, "What things?" And then Cleopas answered him, or they said to him, I'm in verse 19 now, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." And then he says in verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Had hoped. We had hoped up until some point in the past. That's why we have the "had" there. We had hoped, and then our hopes were ended. Our hopes were dashed. And how did that happen? This one that we had thought would redeem Israel up and died. He's crucified. He's killed in the most humiliating way possible, shameful way possible. How could this be the one? We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And then and he goes on, and yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And now Jesus speaks again. "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it is the word "suffer" that appears in both passages. And I want you to see in this passage, there's this double movement. And I suggest to you, it is a typically Christ movement, down, then up. He must suffer. He must make the downward move to death for our sins. Worthy is the Lamb. But the story doesn't end there. So this morning, we do recognize that Jesus announced, "I'm doing these things with you now, disciples, because I know that my suffering is to come, and I want this to happen first so you can understand the weight of it." And then he will enter his glory. This morning, we declare Jesus suffered. But we also declare he has entered his glory. In the language of Philippians 2, after he, when Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of a cross, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. There's the, I would say that's the language of his glory. Worthy is the Lamb. This morning, I invite you to think about a single word as we partake of this memorial meal, the bread and the fruit of the vine. Think about the word, it's going to surprise you, and. And. I think much of the power of Jesus' declaration here, and this is back in 24:26, verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? If we want to live well before God this morning and all time, we remember the end. The suffering is there, and we can't let it go. We have to hang on to it. But we don't only cling to the suffering. We also remember the other side of the end and enter into his glory. This morning, I invite you to partake in full awareness of the end. Let us remember his suffering. Let us understand and embrace the glory into which he has entered. Let us partake well.